Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 224 of CJ Evolution. Patrick here. I'm the host and creator of this growing show, growing because of you, the listener and supporter, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at. Thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. I sure do appreciate it. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women who work in a very difficult environment day in and day out. You're putting on the uniform, doing whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field. You have much support. So keep up the great work. I am so excited to talk about entrepreneurship in this episode because I really do believe most cops out there, or most people working in criminal justice, I can only speak to the cops I know, they have some sort of side hustle or side gig on the side. And here's a quote from Richard Branson. My biggest motivation, he talks about, just to keep challenging myself. I see life almost like one long university education that I never had. Every day I'm learning something new. And that's a quote by Richard Branson. I love entrepreneurship, and I love thinking about the next phase in my life. Not that I don't love law enforcement. I love criminal justice. I love law enforcement. But we're all living longer. We have second, third, and fourth careers in our lives. So I would encourage each and every one of you to think about what you're going to do after you retire or you venture into something else. My next guest used to be a detective in Miami. Had a very, very successful career. She made the leap to starting her own business, and now she owns and runs one of the most successful interior design companies in Florida. So please welcome this next great and an inspirational guest. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Darla Powell on the show. She's an interior designer out of the great state of Florida, and she also used to be a law enforcement officer. So welcome, Darla. Are you there?
Hey, Patrick. I'm very happy to be here. How are you today?
Well, I am fantastic. Thank you for being here. I'm sure you're busy. How's the weather down in Florida?
You know what? It's Miami, Florida, but it is raining and lightning and thundering all day today. I'm tucked away here in my little guest house that doubles as a studio.
That's great. You know, my wife and I were in Chicago visiting a daughter of ours last weekend, and it was cold and wet. And I was like, this is Chicago. It should be hot and muggy.
Yeah, no, it's the summer here. It rains and lightnings for 5 minutes, then you have sunshine, and then rinse and repeat.
Oh, cool. I gave a little bit of a bio about you, Darla. Can you expand on that if you would?
Sure. I'm an interior designer in Miami, Florida. I have been full-time for the last year and 4 months, some odd. But prior to that, I was actually, you know, a very natural previous career, law enforcement, for 18 and a half years, because that's what we all do when we retire, right, is we go into interior design for the Miami-Dade Police Department. Actually, I retired as a sergeant in the Agricultural Patrol section. I have been full-time for a year and a half, and already we have jumped, and our business has been crazy busy because of our social media marketing, and it's just really taken off. I was very lucky that I was able to retire a little bit early and follow a lifelong passion.
I was going to ask you about that because, you know, we all know, you know, cops that, you know, retire or whatever, they get out of it and they do other things. So this was a passion of yours from a very young age, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, ever since I was little, I was rearranging my room weekly, furniture, stealing my mom's paintings, putting them in my tree houses. Yeah. But, you know, I just turned 50, so back in the day when I was in high school, there were no counselors that said, hey, you could do interior design.
True.
So, you know, when I graduated high school, I kind of, you know, went around to sales jobs a little bit, and the police department was hiring. So I said, oh, this sounds interesting. This sounds like a cool gig. And 18 and a half years later, you going through the ropes and getting promoted to sergeant, yeah. I finally decided, you know, maybe this isn't my burning desire and passion in life, although I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being a service to the community. Yeah. But now I get to do that in a more creative way.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit off the air before we started that, you know, I mean, I love having guests like you on the show, people that are doing things you know, and they're entrepreneurial, obviously you are, because we all, like we talked about, Darla, we're all going to be doing something after LA, after law enforcement, whatever you're doing in criminal justice. And it really is, man, you're a testament of, you know, you can go out there and, you know, be successful. Not that people that get out of law enforcement aren't successful, but I just love the entrepreneurial spirit. We're both entrepreneurs, you and I. And, you know, I think it's great that you're going out there and you're following your passion. So many of us, you probably know people, I know I do, that they talk about doing stuff, but they never do.
Yeah, I do get that all. I even get people now that email me and say, oh my God, you made the leap, you know, that you're so brave. I could never do that. How could I, you know, and they ask me for all the advice and, you know, they don't do it. And it was frightening. I mean, like I said, I did retire early. So yeah. There was a little bit of a cut there. You know, I took a little bit of a hit, but the business, it was a side hustle, right? So it started just going so well that my partner and I just said, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's take that leap. So luckily, thank God, it worked out.
And there's no looking back. But like you said, the hardest thing is just taking that leap, because, you know, we're all creatures of comfort. We all want that comfort, right? Myself included. We're like, oh, we can't do this, because what happens if we fail?
Right. And it's been an adjustment, right? Because, you know, you go to work, you wear the same thing every day, you get the same check every week.
Yeah.
You know, there's quite a, you know, a very stable thing going on there. So to retrain your brain to go out and make your own money and make your own living and do that hustle, it took a hot minute.
But it's
that, and also yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That and also dealing with clients, you know, and not having my cop stance, you know.
Yeah, they're like, Darla, you relax. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, that's actually been quite a challenge, you know. I'm like, okay, she just wants a new sofa. I don't need to use verbal judo with her. I don't need the taser. It's going to be okay. Yeah, that was a little bit of a, you know, gearing down. Took a minute.
Yeah, that's a great point. I never thought about that, because. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you have to get out of that cop mindset. Not that you're, you know, I think once you have that, it's always in the back of your mind. You always get a, you know, you always have to, you know, make sure that you're being safe. But that's a great point, you know, stance and tone and things like that. That's probably something that you still work on, that, look, this person is not a criminal. It's just a client. And, you know, I just got to approach this differently.
That is true, because, you know, it's so ingrained in us. You know, you always revert your training in any situation, and that's just part of who I am.
Yeah.
So I catch myself consciously, okay, just relax. You know, you don't have to look for the exits in this situation. We're all good.
Now,
do
you have, you know, partners you know, colleagues that reach out to you now for you know, advice on design and stuff like that?
You know, actually, we're doing a gentleman that's a sergeant in the personnel department that we're doing his kitchen right now.
That's awesome.
And my good friends will, every now and then, they'll reach out to me and they'll say, hey, what would you do in this situation? Of course, you know, I'm going to help them out, because, you know, they're my people. But yeah, all the time.
You mean as far as they still call you up, and you were a sergeant, you were one of the leaders of your organization. Mm-hmm. So they call you up and they ask you for advice.
Yeah, for design advice, not for cop advice.
Oh, anymore. I was going to say.
They know I've moved on.
Oh, I was going to say, they're calling you up. Hey, Sarge, can you help me with this stuff?
Actually, the last person that asked me for cop advice, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I've just kind of erased that. I don't remember. And, you know, SOPs change. So who knows?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't do that anymore.
Once I've erased my brain, that's it. It's like, oh, wait, what was that again?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your service. To law enforcement. 18 years is a long time, especially. I was going to ask you about the department. It's a huge department, probably.
It is humongous. Miami-Dade Police Department, I think, is one of the largest in the country.
Yeah,
I think second to Los Angeles.
I think it's New York, and then it's Chicago. I know LA is up there, but yeah, Miami has got to be huge. It's got to be thousands of employees.
Like 3,600 something, some odd. Since when I left, I think it was 3,600 or so.
Now, I want to talk about your business and what you're doing out there, but really quick, what are some of the issues that you saw when you were on the force as far as some of the big problems that, you know, are facing law enforcement? You know, you haven't been out of it that long.
One of the biggest issues that I had, and one of the things that I was telling you a little bit off the air that I was so appreciative of your podcast, is in the attitude of supervision. Sometimes they're not as progressive or as open-minded about their supervision. They're still kind of that old school, kind of beat you down.
Kind
of super, which is actually, when I retired, I was working for someone like that who shall remain nameless, which now, thank God, you know, he was like that, because it helped me make my decision too, to say, you know what, you know, my following my passion, But that's one of the main problems. And also, you know, as you know, the atmosphere and the climate in law enforcement within the last, you know, 5 to 10 years is entirely different than it was 18, sure. 22 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, with the public perception, and even if it's not the public perception, it's the media's interpretation of what they think the public perception should be, weighs very heavily on my guys. Even they would come to me whenever there was bad news, you know, and in the news, and it made cops look like they were dirty or did something wrong or just that bias, and they would come to me all depressed. Right. So that I remember was one of the biggest struggles at the time I retired.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, there are some bad cops out there, but I you know, Darla, and hopefully the audience knows, the majority of men and women out there doing in law enforcement and criminal justice are doing a great job.
And that's true, and I've worked with them. But yes, there definitely are some bad apples out there, and hopefully those are getting weeded out with all the scrutiny that's going on.
Yeah.
But there's so many more, you know, really good, dedicated men and women out there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, switching back to you know, your business, Darla, Powell Interiors, you know, we talked about how you were always interested in interior design. So what do you do? Can you walk the listener? Because I'm sure cops out there or people that are listening to the podcast are going, and I mentioned to you, Darla, I'm like, I'm going through a reno. My wife and I are going to go through a reno in a couple months. And walk people through that process. I mean, if you could, just basically of what happens. So they hire somebody like you, and then what happens?
Well, what happens for us at Darla Powell Interiors, every interior design firm is a little bit different, but how we work is first we start with a consultation in the beginning. We just kind of come in, assess the client, assess the space, see if we're a good fit to work together. Because when you're doing a renovation or something like that, you're kind of married to that client for 6 months or a year. So you do have to make sure that you're a good fit aesthetically and also, you know, personality-wise. You know, that's, you can't discount that. Which, when you said you were doing a renovation, I was like, I felt for you because it's like dust and dirt for 6 months to a year.
Well,
so,
yeah,
good
they
luck.
Were telling us, our designer was telling us that, you know, and you know this, that we would probably have to move out for a couple of months. So now we have to find, we don't have to, but it would be extremely hard, you know, have people in the house, you know, walking around them. And so now we have to figure out where we're going to live for a couple of months.
That's ideal. And let me tell you, from a designer standpoint, that's ideal for the designer, because when the client's not home, it's even better.
Yeah,
you just go in.
Makes sense.
Do it all.
Yeah, it makes sense because nobody, you know, nobody's in the way and anything like that. So,
exactly.
So you come in, you give some design work, then it's a matter of just getting contractors in and doing.
Yeah,
work.
Exactly. So we'll do the proposal. Say, hey, do you guys, you know, are we a fit? We're a fit. Hire us. Then we draw up your whole design plan. We show it to you. You approve it. We bring in all the contractors, subcontractors. We purchase everything. The homeowner can theoretically just sit back and sip a martini by the pool and not do anything.
That's awesome.
We're full service.
Now, what were some of the hard lessons that you, you know, we talked a little bit about it, but could you, you know, that you learned, you know, but taking the leap from your prior life into your own business, were you always business minded? I know you had the interior design bug, but you know, as far as a lot of business, a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't even realize goes on, taxes and things like that. So what were some of the lessons that you learned with starting your own gig?
Well, first of all, I'm self-taught interior designer. Yeah. I do have interior designers working under me who are degreed and licensed, but I learned that it's an incredibly complex business model.
Yeah.
There's a huge learning curve. And another thing that I did in the very beginning was I charged too little. I undercharged and I didn't put the correct value on my time.
Yeah.
And I would tend to get the tire kickers, you know, that when you price too low, the people who can't afford your services to start with.
Yeah.
So that was about 6 to 9 painful, expensive months. So we've raised our prices since, priced ourselves accordingly now, learned my value. I'm actually even thinking of raising them again to really focus on hitting my ideal client, because that's so key.
Yeah.
Because if you're not working with your ideal client and, you know, you're not happy, then it's not going to be as fulfilling as you thought.
Yeah.
So those are the two main things that I learned.
And then marketing and branding and all that stuff is very important.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure.
I love your website, by the way, dollarpowell.com. It is very sleek. It's very, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it's just a great website.
Thank you so much. I'd shout out to Justin Easthall Designs in Miami, Florida. He did that.
So what are some other tips and suggestions for budding entrepreneurs out there, Darla, especially people in criminal justice? We talked about it. You know, there's always a fear of stepping into the unknown. I know for me, with starting my show, And I want to talk about, because you have a podcast, I want to talk about that. You're starting a podcast. Mm-hmm. You always have to kind of discount the people, the naysayers, in my opinion, because there's always people, at least there was for me, saying, you can't do that.
Yeah, and you know what?
You can't do that.
I don't know why cops are really bad about that, too. Some of my best friends are cops, and they were haters. They wouldn't like anything I would put. And, you know, my circle of friends has kind of changed because of that, because you know that you are the five people you spend the most time with, kind of thing.
Exactly. You have to
hang around people that lift you up and believe in you. So my circle of friends has definitely changed because of that.
Yeah.
But I would say, have a plan in place, because you know I didn't retire with 5 years on. I did have a pension. I did have money saved. It's leap of faith sounds really romantic and ideal, but if you just do it like Don Quixote, you're gonna regret it. You know, you want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, some money in the bank, and it's still a risk. You know, you might fall on your ass, but the way I look at it is, you know, better or worse, I did it. I was brave enough. I took the chance. I put everything in line the way it was supposed to be, and I have no regrets one way or the other, because at least I know that I did it.
And I'm willing to bet that the people that were giving you, you know, crap before probably aren't giving you as much crap anymore.
Oh, no, they can't even believe it. I just got recommended by purewild.com, who has 1.1 million followers on Instagram, as one of the five interior designers in Miami to follow on Instagram.
Wow.
And they're just like, crickets.
Well, I mean, I think some people, you know, and you know this probably, Darla, that some people are very critical of people when they do something, because a lot of times it's what they want to do, but they're too afraid to do it.
Right. And if you succeed, it makes them feel less about themselves. So they're very quick to jump on you and try to make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, well, we're extremely happy that you are killing it in Miami. Thank you. I wish you were closer, so we could. I might have to look at some of your work. I'm like, yeah,
I can travel.
I want to talk really quick about your podcast. We talked about the era, and you're doing a great podcast. You have a great voice, by the way, and you have such a positive energy about you. I think you would do very well podcasting. Can you talk a little bit about that? Or you don't have to if you don't want to. But
no, I'd love to. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. You know, Darla Powell Interiors, one of the reasons it took off and was successful really quickly is because I grabbed a hold of the social media really quick and just fell in love with it and became really good at it.
Yeah.
So my partner and I decided to open a social media agency just for interior designers called Wingnut Social.
I love that. I love that name.
That's my nickname. My friends gave me that back in the day when I was a rookie, because I had such ADD. I'd be finished with a call, and then, you know, they'd be all around chatting, and I'd be go, oh, look, a butterfly, a bird, a puppy.
White rabbit over there.
One of my friends was like, oh, she's such a wingnut. And that's been my nickname ever since.
That's hilarious. Anyway.
It's Wingnut Social. The podcast is called actually Wingnut Social. We should be debuting mid-August, and it's social media and digital marketing tips aimed towards interior designers, but the tips are pretty far-reaching. You don't have to be an interior designer to get some benefit from it.
Well, Darla Powell, thank you so much. If people want to reach out to you, obviously they have your website, darlapowell.com. Is there any other forms of media they can reach out to you on?
Sure. We're on Instagram, Facebook at Darla Powell Interiors, and also on Twitter at Darla Powell INT, because it wouldn't let me do the long one. Also wingnutsocial.com, and we're at Wingnut Social on all those same channels.
Well, all those will be linked up in the show notes. Darla Powell, thank you so much. Much success to you in the future. You are rocking it. And
thank you.
We love people like you on the podcast, just because you're just killing it, man. You're going after your dream, and that's what it's about.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Darla. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.